Please be seated. To be in your presence, to sit at your feet, when your love surrounds me and makes me complete. To rest in your presence, not rushing away, to cherish each moment, here I would stay. This is my desire, O Lord. As we've listened to the story of Mary and Martha, it may seem an odd choice for a Christmas Eve talk, but is it? So much of the Christmas story encompasses the unusual. Shepherds, the lowliest of society, invited to come and see the baby Jesus. Wise men or magi of Gentile descent, following a star to come and praise the new king. Jesus himself was born in a stable. And as we follow the life of Jesus throughout the Gospels, we see that this was nothing unusual. Jesus was not averse to upsetting the political correctness of the day. For who else would call together a mixed collection of men to be his disciples, or go to a tax collector's house for a meal, or even converse with a Samaritan woman at the well? He certainly turned expectations of the day upside down. And this story is no different. We can be forgiven for thinking that this is purely a story revolving around women, but in fact it is more about discipleship. In the time of Jesus, hospitality held an important role within society. So when Jesus came to Bethany, it is Martha who invites him into the home that she shares with Mary. Generally, women had little education except what they would pick up from the menfolk of their families, and so were expected to excel in being good wives, good housekeepers, and good bearers of children. So for Mary, a woman, to take her place at the feet of Jesus to listen to the teaching of the rabbi, flew in the face of the norm of the culture of that time. She would have been expected to help with the food and serve the guests. And maybe, if she was lucky, get the gist of what Jesus was saying as she passed in and out. She would have been dependent on her brother Lazarus filling her in. Not Mary. She wanted to hear directly from Jesus himself. The Bible does not make it clear if Martha had been invited to be with Jesus also, but in this instance chose to be a good hostess and make preparations for the meal. But we are told in verse 40 that Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. And so she comes to Jesus in the hope that Jesus will tell Mary to help her. But I wonder how many of us feel that we are like Martha in the build-up to Christmas, and on Christmas Day itself and beyond. We all have a part to play in the preparations, whether it's shopping, present delivery runs, cleaning, decorating the tree and so forth. How many of us feel that we too could do with an extra pair of hands to help? Whether that is within the home or trying to get work up to date and completed before the holidays. Once we have all that in place on the run up to Christmas, the day itself arrives, along with our guests. How many of us find ourselves torn by trying to get meals ready and missing out on the conversations of our guests as they greet one another? Maybe you are fortunate enough to be the invited guest this year. If so, please spare a thought for your hosts. How many times do we find that we are missing parts of the conversations which then don't make a lot of sense to us? How frustrating do we find this? And I guess this was probably how Martha might have felt, conflicted by her desire to be with Jesus, yet wanting to be the perfect host. I imagine many of us are able to associate closely with Martha, particularly at this time of year. Choosing her moments and full of expectation that Jesus would agree with her, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself?" Jesus refuses to take sides, so his response is both tender and instructive. Calling her gently by her name, twice, and recognising her emotional state, he responds with, You are worried about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. What Martha really needed was the gracious presence of Jesus, to listen to his words and to know her value, not for what she was doing, but for being a child of God. In our world today, we have hectic schedules. We measure our worth by what we achieve or whether we meet the expectations of others. Our intentions may be good, looking after our families, helping our neighbours, serving the Lord. We can be so busy that we have little time to stop and listen to the Lord, to sit at his feet, to hear his words of grace and truth, to know that we are loved and adored by God, to be strengthened in our faith to serve him. It must have been about 10 weeks before Christmas, so how's that for forward planning, that I was listening to a Pray As You Go app one morning where this passage was the one chosen for that day. And as I listened, my mind went to tonight's reading in John's Gospel, and in particular the first couple of verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. If we turn back to the opening sentences in Genesis, we are reminded that in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. God, the Word, said, and there is a list of things that God said, so this is abbreviated. Let there be light. Let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water. Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place. Let the land produce vegetation. Let there be lights in the vault of the sky. Let the water teem with living creatures. Let the land produce living creatures. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. This is Jesus, the Word, who became flesh and dwelt among us. This is our God who says, I know what it's like to be born into poverty. I know what it's like to be raised in a human family. I know what it's like to live in a broken and troubled world. I know what it's like to be rejected and reviled, to be beaten and humiliated. I know what it's like to be betrayed by those whom I thought loved me. I know what it's like to give up my life for you. I did this for you because I love you so much. My Father sent me. I came. I lived with you. I taught you my ways. I have told you of a time when there will be a new heaven and earth, and I will come and dwell amongst you again. This is Jesus, the true light that gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. This is the same Jesus, the Word made flesh, the one who was there in the beginning of time, the one who came as a guest to the home of Mary and Martha, the one that Mary chose to sit at the feet of and listen to. The Word made flesh, the Word there in the beginning, the Word that was both God and with God, and there he was, his presence in human form in the home of Mary and Martha. And there was Mary, sat at his feet. No doubt Mary knew that Jesus was the Messiah, but could she have truly understood the awesomeness of the person that she and Martha were entertaining? Do we? This talk is entitled A Presence for Christmas, which should probably have an enormous exclamation mark against it. Jesus is the ultimate guest to invite into our homes and our lives, not just for Christmas, but all year round. And for life. Mary and Martha had the physical presence of Jesus, but he has gifted us with his Holy Spirit to be with us, to help us and guide us. We've been looking at the role of the angels during Advent. They came as messengers for God and were the guests of Zechariah, Mary, Joseph through a dream, and the shepherds on the hillside. They were there for the moment to deliver a message, and then they were gone. As I've reflected on this title, perhaps it should read, "The Presence, the only true presence that we need in our lives, and not just for Christmas, but for every day. And he comes to us through his Holy Spirit." Amen. For many of us, this might be the only time we have over this Christmas period to come and sit at the feet of Jesus, to be in communion with him and one another. As we participate in communion, are we able, with the shepherds and the wise men, give the living Lord our lives, our worship, and our praise?